So, ready? You want to title my message? And it's for the ladies, for the young ladies in the room. The title is, ready? Shake It Off. I was going to sing, but shake it off, shake it off. Huh? So, I know, right? Hold on, I got to find it first. Okay. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 28, please. Acts chapter 28. And I think, oh, John, I didn't recognize, I forgot that you were sitting there singing, playing. You want to sing a song?
No.
No? Good. Have a seat. Acts chapter 28. Let's see how, we're not going to be too long because I know everybody's hungry. Acts chapter 28, one of the things I said a couple weeks ago when we started, when we're coming through COVID and all that, is that we're going to do our best to fill you with faith. Messages that will inspire you, hopefully, to have a different outlook. You know, there's people that are still afraid of the virus, and I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. The virus exists. People have died from it. People have caught it. But the Bible is clear that Jesus gave us a way out. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
You know, let me just give you a quick, just a little story. Years ago, I think it was about 16, 17 years ago, we took the kids to Disney World. And if you know anything about Disney World, it's pretty expensive, right? And you know, by the time we get down there, and Ariana in the back seat always screaming, because she was screaming every time we would get in the car, and she was probably about 5 back then. Everybody remembers Ariana screaming. Christopher was going to throw her out the window, I think, because he just kept screaming and screaming. But, you know, we finally get down to Disney World, a 24-hour drive straight through in a van, and everybody's screaming. But I think at this time we had Kim and April with us. Remember that? About 15, right, boys? I think you remember. We had Kim and April with us. We took them down to Florida. And Mark's daughters, Kim and April. And they were young, the kids were young, but they just needed to get out of here. So we went down, and I went and took Kim and April and the kids, the boys, and I dropped them off at Disney World in the morning, because we were just going to hang out by the pool. Ariana was too small, and Nick, right, you're like 5, I think. Anyway, so we're just going to hang out by the pool for the day, and I dropped the kids off at Disney World. I bought the tickets, I dropped them off, right? It's like $100 a ticket, whatever it was back then. And I said, call me when you're done, you know, so I figured I'd have about 8 or 9 hours till I have to get back in the van to go back and pick them up. So I get back to the hotel, not even an hour later I get a phone call. Can you pick us up? Like, why? We're bored. What do you mean you're bored? We're bored. We did all the rides already. We're bored. I'm like, I don't care how bored you are. I says, do you know how much it cost me to buy those tickets so you could be bored? He says, do you know how long it took us to get down here? Do you know what it took to get you to Disney World this week? If you only knew what it took to get you to this point, you'd act a little differently. You'd change your attitude. You'd stop being bored. Amen? You know, parents buy their kids those stupid little ears, they put them on their heads, right? Parents spend money on Mickey Mouse and everything. But it's amazing how when you get to a point, right, after it took so long to get there, all the kids want to do is whine and complain and be bored, right? I don't want this, I'm tired of this, you know, give me something else. You see, when it comes to the coronavirus, if you only knew what Jesus went through to provide for your healing, to get you through any sickness and any disease, if you only knew what he did on the cross, if you only knew how much it cost God the Father to kill his son just so you can complain about a virus, if you only knew what Jesus suffered for 3 days and 3 nights in hell, and those 3 nights he paid the ultimate price. And for us to whine and complain, instead of declaring, you know what, by his stripes I was healed. Jesus did it. He paid the ultimate price. He did so much. It took God 4,000 years to get him on the cross. It took us 24 hours to get to Disney World. It took God 4,000 years for everything to be right to get his son on the cross. And we run around complaining and whining and depressed and this and that. And God says, if you only knew what it took me to get rid of every one of your sins, to wash away, to have my son spill his blood, to have him humiliated, mutilated, ripped apart, and all you're going to do is whine and complain about it, it should open up your eyes a little bit to see the cost. What did it cost Jesus to get us to this point? Amen? The very thing he died with, we are not supposed to live with. He died with coronavirus. If you don't believe me, the Bible says so. All sickness and all disease was upon him. He took it all. And there's nothing new under the sun. God already knew coronavirus was going to hit us. And so he put it on Jesus 2,000 years ago. So if he put it on him and Jesus took it and he buried it in the grave, then why are we living with it? Amen. I'm going to go home. We're good. I'm hungry. You really have to consider what Jesus paid, the price he paid, and what God did on that cross. Once you see, 4,000 years it took for God to do that. God had to go through Noah, Abraham, Moses, Samson, David, Isaiah, Malachi, Elijah, Elisha, Matthew, until Jesus would come on the scene. It took 4,000 years for it to be a perfect time for Jesus to be born. Today we dedicate a little Mateo. God chose for him to be born. Every person is a gift of God. No matter what, God has his eyes upon every person. Everyone. Even for a day, for a lifetime, it doesn't matter. God has his hands on him. Amen. All right, so let's go to Acts 28. That wasn't my sermon, but I thought that was pretty good. Amen. You should never live with what Jesus died with. Amen. I'm not saying you may not get sick, but if you do, just stand your ground and say, nope, you can't, this is not going to stay on my body. Jesus died, by his stripes I was healed. I'm not going to stay depressed. I'm not going to complain because Jesus died with all that depression. He died with all that complaining. So I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to count it all joy. Amen. Amen? Amen? Actually, go to James chapter 1. This is for you, James. Thanks. It's for your book. It's the one you wrote. James chapter 1 for a minute. James chapter 1. Look what it says in verse 2. James chapter 1 and verse 2. You know the scripture, right? It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work. So you can tell when someone is being challenged. You can tell when somebody is going through trials. Why? Because their face tells you. They're depressed, they complain, they whine. Amen. You know, slap your neighbor and say he's talking about you. But don't touch anybody. Not supposed to touch anybody, I said. Simon says don't touch anybody. But notice what it says here. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations and temptations. In other words, we should be able to tell that you're going through something because your joy gets louder and louder. That means if we see you getting a little happier and happier and happier, then we should suspect that you're going through an issue. It shouldn't be the other way around. Your joy meter should get higher when you're going through trials instead of it getting lower. You shouldn't let your trials cause your joy meter to go down. But watch this. Watch what he says. He says that the testing of your faith produces patience. There is never unchallenged faith. Ever. Your faith will always be challenged. Always, always, always. There doesn't exist unchallenged faith. It just doesn't exist. And he says the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But notice verse 3. He says, know this. He says, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, he says, listen up, folks. You need to know this. The reason why you're being tested is because patience is being produced in you. And when patience is being produced in you, it'll create a perfect work. But you can't be patient, you can't produce a perfect work unless you're joyful, unless you show some joy. So it says count it all joy, and the Greek word for count it means you add it up like you would in arithmetic. All right, you know, can't pay my bills, I got a sickness, everybody hates me, I'm depressed. So after you count it, it should equal joy, not I hate my life. SMH. It should not equal that. It should not equal, why do I even exist? It shouldn't equal that. It should equal joy. What does it mean? It means your faith is being tested. That means production is taking place. Something is being produced in your life. Amen. Now go back to Acts chapter 28. You see, we see life wrong. If you only knew what Jesus went through to give you victory, to give you eternal life, you would see things a little differently. He's on the throne. Oh, where's my shouting crew here? Where's my amen gallery? He's on the throne. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He took the keys of death and hell away from Satan once and for all, and he said, here are the keys. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I've given you authority and dominion over all the principalities and powers of the enemy. He says, it's yours. Stop whining about it. Amen. Get a little happy about it. There you go. Woo! Acts chapter 28, verse 1. Now Paul is coming to a point, he was just shipwrecked, and he winds up on an Italian island that the Greeks discovered. Because the Greeks discovered everything. Italians, I don't know. Verse 1. You really are Greek, all you Italians, just so you know. Actually, Gabby's last name, his mother's last name, is a Greek last name, and she was Greek, but anyway. Verse 1, it says, and Santiago is Greek too. It means James, right? It means Saint James, which is Greek. Just kidding. All right, ready? Now it says, when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome, because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. Now stop right there. Let me explain exactly what happened. A viper is a poisonous snake. All right? So Paul is doing something nice. Well, first of all, he was just shipwrecked. All right? I mean, you know, how bad can things get? He was shipwrecked 3 times. He was beaten twice at 39 lashes. I mean, the guy went through a lot. So here he is now. He was shipwrecked with 275 other guys, and he winds up on an island, right? And he wants to go, he's getting some wood, and he goes to grab some wood, and a poisonous snake comes out, and it fastens. See the word fasten? Yes. So it's a poisonous snake, and it fastens to his hand. So what does it mean to fasten? The Greek word literally says this. It's like they took a nail and they nailed it into his skin. So when a viper comes out, you know, you've seen the viper, right? Little things. It does what? It goes into the skin and it fastens itself. So in other words, it becomes part of his body. That's what the Greek word literally says. It's like a nail that it becomes part of it. So wherever Paul goes, this viper went. So the viper has fastened itself to Paul's hand. Good? Yeah. Now listen, how many times has something fastened itself to you that it's poisonous? Like an unhealthy relationship, yeah. Ladies. Yeah. Like, that's it. Like a guy who's fastened himself to you, James, just doesn't want to let you go. Oh, how about your past? Your past can fasten itself to you where you have this reputation, and then no matter where you go, people see you like your past.
Yeah.
You know, or you have an issue, you just made a dumb mistake, yet it's fastened to you, and every time you try to do something, it doesn't get out of your head because the devil went and he stuck a nail right in you, and now no matter where you go, you think, I can never get out of this. I can never be good enough. I can never have a good relationship. I'll never get a good job. Why? Because this thing is, this poisonous thing has fastened itself to you. It's the same thing that happened to Paul. This thing fastened. It became a part of him. And the devil just put two nails right into Paul's hand. And now it's spewing poison. So the more Paul holds on to this thing, the more deadly it becomes. If Paul doesn't do something really quick, he's a goner. Now watch this. Watch what Paul does. Okay? Verse 3 says, when Paul gathered the sticks, a viper came and out because of the heat, and it fastened on his hand. Let me say this. Coronavirus has fastened itself to the minds and the fear of every single person on this planet. When the Bible says we should not be afraid of that thing, we should go in and grab it by the throat and say, don't you dare come near my house. Don't you dare come near my dwelling place. Because angels have charge over me to guard me in all my ways, and nothing shall come near me. So don't you even rear your ugly head, you foul viper. Listen, when it comes to poverty, when it comes to lack, when it comes to depression, you need to tell it, you will not fasten yourself to me. I know Janice has shared about her credit report, right? For years, her credit rating. It's like it fastened itself to her, right? And she just can't shake this number that everybody judges her accordingly. She goes, I'm faithful. I pay my bills. Why doesn't my number go up? Because it's like a viper. It's fastened itself. Listen, today, skin color now has fastened itself where people look at you and say, oh, you're that skin color, you're not, or you're that, you're from that country, or you're, and people judge you accordingly. It's time for us to shake it off.
Amen.
The things of the past need to be shaken off. Here's how Paul dealt with it. Verse 4, so when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, we, no doubt this man is a murderer. Notice how people judge you according to what happens to you. When James said, hey, when things happen to you, get happy about it. Because your faith is being challenged. That means God's producing something. He's working in you. That God, your salvation is being worked out with fear and trembling. You should thank God when you go through trials, because that means God cares enough about you to start shaking things inside of you and work some things inside of you. Yeah, I know I'm not perfect, God, so you go ahead and prune me, shake me, cut some things out of my life, make me a better father, make me a better pastor, make me a better man of God.
Yes. Amen.
Notice he says they judged him as a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. And they're like, kill him, God. You deserve it. How many times you've heard that? Well, you deserve what you get. You know, you just like that. You're just like your father, or you're just that kind. You deserve it. You made that mistake. You deserve what you get. God never says you deserve what you get. Jesus got what you deserved.
Yay!
Jesus paid the price.
Yeah.
He paid the ultimate price, and he was guilty. He was found guilty that you would be found innocent. He paid the price. So when somebody tells you you deserve it, say, no, I know someone who deserved it, who didn't deserve it, but took it from me. I may deserve it, but I've been given mercy, and I live now in that grace. So if God gives me a second chance, you can give me a second chance. If God could give me a third chance, you can give me a third chance. Now watch what he did. Verse 4. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, justice does not allow him to live. Verse 5. Ready? You got your seatbelts on? Or you got your running shoes, Bill?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah, I'm ready. But what did Paul do? He shook it off. Everybody kind of just, come on, just shake it off. Just shake it off. I'm just going to shake it off. I'm not going to. Come on, shake it off, Santi. Just shake it off. You know, shake it off, shake it off. Stop it. Shake it off. Sharon, can you cue shake it off? No, never mind. Don't do it. You think Taylor Swift? You think Taylor Swift didn't read the Bible somewhere in Acts chapter 28 where it says just shake it off? That Taylor Swift, whatever her name is. She knew that the Bible says, hey, if a man turns you down, if a man breaks your heart, just shake it off. Because Paul said so. Don't you hate when people, you're crying out, oh, you don't know what happened to me. He hurt me. He hurt my feelings. And then your friend's like, I'll just shake it off. You're like, what do you mean just shake it off? That happens a lot over here. Just shake it off. Just shake it off. You don't care about me? How could you just say shake it off? Just shake it off. But, praise the Lord, I'm Greek. Because the word shake it off in the Greek, it'll rock your world. You ready? You want to know what it really means? James, you're going to like this. You're going to love this. So the Greek word for shake it off implies this. How many of you watch MMA? James, I told you you're going to like this, right? You watch MMA, right? And the goal in MMA is to either knock you out or you tap out, correct? Or points, but let's not get into that. So they try to choke you out, right? So you can tap out. Right? Or by points, or knock you out. Now, as you know, I took martial arts many years, and one of the things that we learned is this, how to apply something like a hold, right, or this, and at the same time, how to reverse that, how to get out of it, how to reverse the move. So if somebody does a choke hold, we've learned how to reverse it and put it back on them. The Greek here literally says, reverse the move. Woo! So listen, so what the devil did was fasten it on him, he reversed it on him. In other words, he went like this, is okay, you fasten up? Well, let me just show you, I have a move, I have a counter move for your move, devil. And so what did he do? He said, watch, shake it off. And he just shook him off. And God said this in the Greek. He says, when the devil fastens itself on you, I want you to use this move on it. What is it? Shake it off. Because it just ticks him off. What do you mean just shake it off? No, you got to struggle a while. No, you got to suffer for it. I want you to suffer. I want you to die. And what does God say? He says, no, just here's the move. Ready? Just shake it off. It works for everything the devil does.
Yes.
Everything. What? Corona's in your house? Well, let me just shake it off. No, you ain't on my house, devil. What? Depression's in your family? Diabetes? Let me show you the move. Ready? Ready? Here's the MMA counter move, devil, that I'm going to make you tap out. Ready? You're done. Just shake it off. Now watch this. It says this. It says, but he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. No matter what the devil says he's going to do to you, I'm going to kill you and all your family too. I don't care. Get your mother, your big brother, your father. I'll kill them too. All you tell the devil is, devil, hold on a second. And you do me no harm. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. You have no right to my life because I have already submitted my life to the one who created me, who's greater than all, who stretched the heavens out, who formed the seas, and who raised Jesus from the dead. So don't you ever tell me that you can do that to me. Because I'll tell you a thing or two. I'll play Taylor Swift all day long if I have to, devil. Talk about a worship song. Shake it off. Shake it off. All right, let me finish up. Acts chapter 27 real quick. Acts 27. What happened? Listen. There. What? You got it? There it is. So the player's gonna play, 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 play. Ready? And the hater's gonna hate, 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 hate. Baby? No, it's not baby. It's devil. We're gonna shake it. Come on, everybody. Shake it. Shake it, shake it, shake it off. Shake it off. Heartbreaker's gonna break. James, that's your part, right? Heartbreaker's gonna break, break. And the fakers are gonna fake, fake, fake. But devil, I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake it off. Shake it off. Shake it off. There you go. Hey. Woo! Right, shake your head, shake it off. Acts 27. Let's finish it. It's the best I could do for a sermon today. Brian is saying I should have preached this morning. I should have given him the word, or instead of a Taylor Swift song. Forgive me a break. How is this godly? How is this in the Bible? All right, let's finish up. Acts chapter 27. Watch this. Watch where Paul just came from. Watch where Paul just came from. He was in a shipwreck, right? His ship's about to go down. And he gave the captain about 11 days earlier, I think, some advice. And said, listen, captain, you need to do this. And the captain says, be quiet, I'm the captain. Didn't listen to him. So what did Paul do? He just kind of shook it off. He went to prayer. He said, Lord, I pray that you would save every single person on this ship. We don't care about the ship. That's material stuff. I care about the lives of the people. Now watch what happens. The day they're about to sink, this is 14 days later, I think, into the tempest, verse 23, actually verse 21. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. The Greek literally says, and now I urge you to cheer up. Ha! Ha. I urge you to cheer up. Remember what James says? Count it all joy. So they're about to go under. Their ship's about to sink. What did he say? Cheer up, buddy. You need to, I'm going to urge you. Now listen, you didn't listen to me before. You should have listened. But now I'm going to give you some advice that'll save your life. Cheer up. Cheer up? We're sinking. What do you mean, Paul? No, just cheer up. No, I don't, Paul, you're nuts. Listen, you didn't listen to me before. I'm going to give you some advice. This is godly advice. Cheer up. And he says, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. Watch. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. In other words, when you begin to shake things off, you need to remind the devil, wait a minute, I belong to him, and he's got angels that he can commission at any time to come and spare my life, protect not only me, my family, my friends, my neighbors, and everybody else on this ship. I told you, every time we go on a plane, right? I remember we were on a really bad plane ride. Oh, remember we were going to pick up your dad years ago. In the midst of a violent storm, the guy is flying this little, what is it, a prop job, like two here, one here. And we hit this bump, and the guy behind us screams. He was a guy, screamed like a girl, and said, "We're gonna die!" Remember? And then, you know, Janice's nails fastened into my hand. And I looked at Janice, I said, "He better thank his lucky stars we are on this plane. Because it is not going down. He better cheer up. Because we are not going under, not while I'm on this plane. If God has to send a million angels to protect my plane, he will, because I serve God. I've got an appointment on my life. I've got a command on my life, and I am not done yet. I've got things to do, places to go, people to see, people's lives to change, countries to change, books to write, sermons to preach. There's sermons I haven't preached yet. And I ain't going, you better cheer up. I ain't not going down." So look, he says this. He says, "To God whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. Indeed, God has granted you all these who sail. Therefore, cheer up." The Greek says, "Cheer up. Men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me." Amen. Cheer up, folks. Cheer up and shake it off. Come on, yell a little loud. Everybody yell, "Shake it off." Woo! Amen. Praise. You got a "Shake It Off" song, John, that we could sing? I don't want you to be Taylor Swift now. John's like, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to sing." Paul, can you sing "Shake It Off"? No, I'm not going to sing. No. Oh, no, no. Let's sing a godly song. Yes, yes. Amen. Everybody stand up. Come on, it's time. Here, we need to shake some. You need to shake some things off of your life right now. I don't know who you are, but you need to shake some things off of your life.